Welcome to the Legion Outriders podcast, a member of the Radio Free Tatooine Network.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Your source for the latest Legion news, opinion, and analysis.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
John Archiquette.
Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
Matt Turner.
I'm not afraid.
And my name is Jeff.
You will be.
What's going on, Outriders? John, Jeff, and we got LJ on this time. And no Matt today, unfortunately, but you know what? Like, we're trying to figure out the exchange rate of what a, you know, one Jeff is worth compared to one Matt. Like, LJ is the ultimate, you know.
LJ is at least 100 Matts.
At least. Probably about 500 Johns. What's up, LJ?
Oh, man. Last time I was on, I feel like we roasted Josh unnecessarily, but I guess it's Matt's turn.
Who?
Well, he's Josh. Who's
Josh? The co-host who, you know, formerly known as Josh, who's now an X-Wing player, so we disown him.
I mean, I am new, so you could roast me, too, and just, you know, just throw the, my name is Jeff.
I mean, that was my favorite part of the last episode, and I told you guys as much. That got me real good, and I was probably laughing like an idiot in my car during my morning commute.
So, like, I originally was just going to do it as, like, a one-time joke, but I feel like a lot of people have already told us that they enjoy that, so I might just leave it.
Yeah, I think it's locked in, unfortunately. Yeah. But, hey, at least I'm contributing.
Until Channing Tatum comes after us for, you know, royalties or something. I don't know.
Maybe he'll come on the show.
That'd be cool. All right, so today is the 36th Thursday in Ordinary Time, based on the fact that we don't have anything really news-related from FFG regarding Star Wars Legion. But the good news is, because we have LJ here, he's talking to us probably about the most important thing in Legion land right now, and that's Invader League.
Oh, I thought it was in Dubax are coming out. Or Clone Wars. Or Operatives. Or,
oh, man. Oh, well. I thought that was when we segued into baseball. Dang it.
Oh, no. No, we're going to talk some baseball today, LJ. Because for those of you guys who don't know, I'm Wisconsin sports fan across the board. Milwaukee Brewers just locked up the wild card, at least a wild card, today. They're on a bit of a hot streak. And the LA Dodgers, of course, surprising nobody, are, what, 102 wins right now or something?
Something like that. Thank you, Padres.
Yeah, no big deal. But we'll talk about that a little bit later, because LJ and I have a little friendly baseball rivalry going. Before we get into that, though, we'll talk some Star Wars stuff. Invader League's coming up, so that's the big reason we got you on here. We're going to hammer home some details for that, because that's right around the bend. But let's get into our typical schedule here. We got some Star Wars news to talk about, and this is pretty huge. Matt kind of dropped this on us before I rolled into the studio today.
It's
so
like a handwritten note of, like, chicken scratch.
Right.
Talk about this.
So this is news to me. Like, I saw this and I was like, whoa, that's kind of a big deal. Marvel Studios chief Kevin Feige is joining Lucasfilms to develop a new Star Wars film.
Yeah, so it looks like it's going to be just a one-off film, you know, one-on collaboration. He said he had a specific actor in mind for a specific role. So it sounds like, you know, he's working with Kathleen Kennedy, and they have something in mind, but the details are very scarce.
LJ, you're an insider on all of these things. What do we got? Who's the actor?
The actor? I'm going to go Hayden Christensen's making a recap. No.
Jake Lloyd.
Let's tell you my actual hope. I hope this is us getting closer to maybe some old Republic stuff.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, they did hint a lot about some old Republic stuff coming out. And we haven't really heard anything about TV shows referencing that era, right? So maybe it'll be a movie.
Yeah, I really do hope so. That'd be quite sweet. I, you know, seriously, as far as actors go, actors, actresses, nobody springs to mind right away. But that would definitely be my hope as far as content goes.
You know, like with the last trilogy, they did a great job of digging up some relatively new talent, finding some people from some rather obscure shows or movies, and really launching their careers. So, you know, maybe we'll see some bright young talent out there.
I was just reading an article from Hayden Christensen, who was like, yeah, Star Wars launched my career, and then I decided to retire. Because he felt like he just had it handed to him. You know, he was like, oh, you know, I don't want to ride off the piggyback of this, you know, the success of the films, even though a lot of people don't like them. I mean, it's still kind of a important part of the trilogy or the overarching story.
Yeah. So. Well, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but, you know, Hayden Christensen gets a lot of bad rap. I honestly don't think he might not be that bad of an actor. I just feel like George Lucas gave him some pretty terrible dialogue to work with.
I don't think it was necessarily the acting. I think it was the time frame of the movie and, yeah, what, you know, what your directors are telling you to do. Because I think Ewan McGregor is great. And, I mean, he was a great Obi-Wan. But if you go back and watch those movies, they're pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Clone Wars movies fans, or you know, original trilogy or prequel trilogy. Wow, brain fart. I'm not the biggest fan of the prequel trilogies, but you know, they had some good actors in them. Yeah. So I have a feeling that they'll be able to get some good actors to support this movie, whatever it's going to be. Fingers crossed for Old Republic, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's a cool era.
All right. Maybe you can fill us in a little bit on this, LJ, because you know a little bit more of us than more about this than us as far as trade secrets go. How did miniature markets get their stuff on sale?
Oh man, great! All right, let me put my FFG polo on that I don't own. So what I assume, and obviously this has been a big subject of discussion, so I figured it was going to come up. But what I assume is that, you know, FFG was shooting for a closer to a worldwide release than a lot of their other stuff has been. And so while it was an admirable goal, it seems like the word might have not made it out to every ear. And so Miniature Market sent out some of their pre-orders that had previously been made over the course of the summer. We on the Discord actually had sent something to Matt Holland, who's, you know, kind of their OP community coordinator guy, and let him know, like, hey, these are being sent out to people. They're getting shipping notifications. And then later in the day, people that tried to place orders and also get those notifications weren't able to, because I think they had locked it down till an unmentioned later date. I don't know if we got a hard date, but I think the 18th has been floating around of October. So, you know, we either ignored willfully or purposely ignored a hold order is what my guess is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen that happen before where, you know, somebody's like, oh, I forgot to read my email. And then, yeah, stuff.
Yeah. Happens. And again, like I'm making no assumptions on behalf of Miniature Market or FFG. I don't know who screwed up. I don't know if anybody screwed up, but that's just the gist that we have been able to gather over this last week or so. You know, it's almost like another Gen Con. I'm happy that more copies are out there in the wild because more people get to enjoy the awesome, awesome core set that it is. It sucks for a lot of people because you either can't get the product and you want it, or you're a store owner and now you're getting beat out by an online retailer. So there's a lot of bad feelings that are going to come from it. And even though we want to try to look towards the good and keep the community together, there's no way to avoid, you know, hurt feelings, essentially, which sucks.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if you fast forward, what, 3 weeks when everybody has their copy, nobody's going to look back at today and be like, yeah, you got your copy 3 weeks before me. I hate you. Yeah. Well, maybe, but, you know.
I mean, we're dealing with Star Wars fans here, so some people are going to be like that.
Yeah. 6 years from now, they'll still have the anger inside them.
I mean, I definitely saw some, I don't know, fairly disgruntled people on Facebook. But then again, like you said, it's Facebook, and there's always going to be some disgruntled people on there. I'm with you, LJ. Like I'm happy some people out there are getting to, you know, getting to play it. It's cool seeing, I don't know, some people already painting up the stuff and, you know, coming up with the paint schemes. Like Sarastro put his tutorial on painting up the B1s already, and that's awesome because that prevents me having to, you know, test out a bunch of different paint shades to make sure I'm getting the correct beige.
Oh, I think the B1s are going to be easier, right? That's your contrast paints. Finally. Finally. You have a use for contrast.
Sorry, I died a little inside. Yeah.
He said contrast. He said it again.
I just wanted to make John say it.
Well, actually, you know what? Now that we're on the topic, I do have to give a little shout out here, a little hobby segment. LJ, dude, your Grievouses. What's your secret, bro? They're beautiful.
My secret is to have a good friend that is awesome at painting. I
Good friends, yeah. What are those?
What? No, I cannot claim to have been the one that painted the droids that I have been posting recently. I got really lucky, and I have a friend nearby that painted my Bossk for me because I really wanted to make him a special centerpiece of my army at the time, and so he put a little extra effort into it that I am not able to obtain because I myself am not a very good painter. And so when I saw and got the Bossk back, I was like, man, I know that fall is going to be real busy because of, you know, Invader stuff and LVO stuff and Adepticon stuff. And I'm also teaching a new program at school this year. And so I was like, I'm not going to have time to paint the stuff if I do happen to get it early. And I was lucky enough to have a core set brought back early. So I handed it off to him and was like, hey, man, can you paint up the droid half for me? And he was more than happy to. So, you know, I let him have it for a while. He did his process. And overall, I mean, I thought he did an awesome job with it. Him and I came up with the colors together. And I really do love that the new kits are on sprues. If you've never done sprues before, you're going to hate it. And then you're going to hate it. And then you're going to hate it some more. And then it'll get better. And you'll realize why sprues are a good thing. Because the poses that I was able to do, especially that jumping Grievous, and, you know, we can probably post the page if people listening haven't seen it, but that was so easy for me to do. And that would have taken like an hour of putting the parts in boiling water and bending and breaking and gluing. All I had to do was break Grievous's joint at the knee and then re-glue it at the angle that I wanted and then just stick a flight stand up his butt and position the arms correctly, and it was done. I mean, it was so easy to do because of the sprue kit. So, like, you know, I appreciate the compliments on how everything turned out, but my friend Yancey gets most of the credit for doing the painting. Him and I came up with kind of the colors together, and, you know, the modeling stuff was a breeze because of the new kits.
Yeah, so I saw sprues back when I played Malifaux, and I played Imperial Assault too, so, you know, I kind of saw both sides of that model, the possibilities that they could do. And Imperial Assault, I kind of feel like FFG was just, you know, I guess getting their hands into that, sculpting those models for Star Wars, because they had it for Descent as well. But none of those models look as good as Legion ones do. And now with the sprue stuff, I think it's going to look even better. Because you're getting a different plastic, it has more detail. Like you said, you can pose things differently. And I know a lot of people want to have those, you know, their army look unique, whether it's goofy or serious. So yeah, I think it's a good thing. Even if it's a little bit longer and a little bit more annoying at the end, it's going to be a nicer product.
Yeah, I'm on both sides of the fence on that because I, as a hobbyist, I enjoy most of the, you know, the stuff that goes into customizing your army. But on the other hand, I don't like building it, but I would rather have the option at least to customize my guys, not have them all looking the same, especially, I guess, with a model that has the potential to be so monopose as a B1. So, yeah, I can definitely – I like the direction they're going with it. And, yeah, if your Grievous is any indication of what's, you know, what's possible with a little bit of little creativity and, you know, some hobby skills, props to your buddy Yancey because he did a great job.
I'm still waiting for Hover.
Well, my little brother actually really wanted me to attempt the walking forward and spinning lightsaber pose. And that was super tempting to try to do that where, you know, he's got the four sabers and they're spinning really fast. That was very tempting to try to attempt something like that, but it probably wouldn't look as good when you actually put the...
I think you could probably do it if you had like a cone, like a acrylic cone, right?
And then okay,
you...
sure.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we do live in the age of 3D printing and whatnot. I'm actually talking to this guy who owns a Deadly Print Studio, and he's actually working on refining his process and 3D printing me some Droidica shields that will look like they're actually being shot at.
Were those posted on the Facebook Legion page?
I don't know if I posted them there, but I might have actually shared it with you guys because I was kind of, you know, getting all excited about what he was working on.
Okay. I definitely saw either, it might have been from you sending it to me or somebody posting it on Facebook, but I saw some of those where they almost look like they're made to just like slide over the top, like a little dome shape. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a few. I've seen people using like the Christmas ball type, you know, cut the bottom off and then...
Yeah.
Kind of paint it translucent blue a little bit. Yeah, I think 3D printers, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah, it's an awesome idea. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what other cool ideas come out with people come up with once they get their core sets.
I mean, I have to admit, I'm kind of glad I'm not playing the droids, because I would be tempted to do that, and then I could see like 300 hours later, I'm so frustrated because my droid shields aren't working right, and then I'm like, I had to quit this game.
Yeah, well, you know, it's definitely worth it. You're gonna feel it when you have to put the extra time in to make the models, you know, come alive. But you know, you only have to do it once, and then they're set for pretty much ever, unless something terrible happens. So, like, you know, when I looked and I showed my wife the droids after I had finished them putting them together, sorry, she had gone and like immediately picked up one and been like, oh, he kind of looks like he's like looking off in the distance. And, you know, this one looks like he's almost being sassy. And I'm like, okay, if someone who like has no connection to Legion, other than, you know, all the time she comes and helps run events and whatnot, but this somebody who doesn't play the game or work with models, to see her immediately pick that up just from a little extra work from Sprues, that's totally worth it in my perspective. And, you know, I was a longtime Tyranid player in 40K. I played the bugs for like 14, 15 years, and I was all about conversions and modeling and stuff. So the Sprues have been a great enabler for me to get that passion again.
Well, you didn't play back in the day when every single Termagant looked exactly the same.
I did. I just, that was what I grew up in, was trying to break that mold somehow. And then it did slowly get a little bit better with some of the basic gaunts over time. But yeah, I had a lot of different projects that I did back in the day with Carnifexes and Trigons and all sorts of crazy stuff. Good times.
Yeah. It, playing some AOS, it kind of made me appreciate, you know, how easy it is to snap some of that stuff together. So, you know, I think that going back to Sprues, I don't think it's a bad thing. And, I don't know. I'll look forward to the customization. Like I said, I think it'll be cool when you start seeing some of the clone stuff coming out that way too, because you know clones have a little bit more personality, I think, individually than droids do.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice when we start getting clones without helmets. That's what'll really set them apart. Right now, they're just early edition stormtroopers.
Kitbash stuff. Buy some. You know what? By some guards.
One of the big things about clones that I don't know if people realize is that a lot of their joints are ball sockets now. They're like the push fit, but not exactly like the push fit. So you can get more expression and variety in your basic clones because you can kit bash them now.
Oh, I can't wait to make my sassy clone.
That's not your whole army?
An army of sassy clones.
It's not Felucia, it's Felicia.
Well, no, because then people will be like, goodbye, or what is it?
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia, and I'll be like, no.
Was there a lot of cleanup involved with the sprues? Like, did you have to do a lot of like mold line removal? Or anything?
There was a moderate amount. I wouldn't say it was a huge amount, and there were a couple segments where it's pretty noticeable if you leave some stuff behind. So I did have something handy to, you know, do a little bit of cleanup after a while. And I poked myself quite a few times, but my fingers healed and I got over it.
This is a family show. We don't want to hear about poking yourself.
Well, you know, you guys were the ones that were trying to talk about like plugging to John as we were trying to figure out the connections and stuff. So don't you talk to me about that.
Yeah, and Matt had his one Freudian slip that was really bad.
his one Freudian slip. Yeah. They're not slips. We intend all of them. We script all of this ahead of time. We're professionals. So, LJ, big event coming up in St. Louis Warfare Weekend. I hear you're going to this.
Yes, I actually just bought my flight today. So a bit of a late addition, but I realized that was a 3-day weekend because of Veterans Day, which I guess I probably should have known. And so I was able to commit. And I had been talking to Brendan a couple nights ago about, you know, LVO and Adepticon stuff. And I wanted to ask him how Warfare was going. And it sounds like they still have a ton of spots. And so, you know, for anybody that's seen kind of what we've done with LVO and Adepticon, and they've enjoyed the kind of quality of tournament that Brendan has been able to put on, you know, I highly recommend we try on that before. I think it's the third week of October is when those tickets close and you can't buy anymore. So we've got about a month left for people to get tickets and get on that, because Warfare is another grand championship. That means there's four spots on the line and a flight. And so if, you know, you're looking for an opportunity to close that out before we start this new year, I believe the Warfare tournament is on the 8th of November, and they'll play a day two. It's either 5 or 6 games total, and they'll do like a top cut on the second day for the final round for, you know, those last couple qualifier spots. So yeah, that was something that I totally forgot we were just talking about. And, you know, I know his numbers are probably a little under what he wants, and there's so much opportunity for people to maybe get their world spot by going there, and they're really missing out, especially because it's in such a central location compared to some of the East Coast tournaments that just happened.
Yeah, it's in St. Louis, so I mean it's pretty easy to get to from no matter where you are in the country. It's a 3-day weekend for most people because of the federal holiday, and on top of that, you know, everything's cheaper there than it's going to be than going to
California,
you know, California, or, DC, yeah. Las Vegas. You know, hotels, flights, food, everything's probably cheaper. So, and the fact that they got a lot of open spots and four available, you know, tickets there for Worlds, or for High Command, the way it works
is that there'll be a last chance qualifier, High Command, and Worlds, and so basically you're going to Worlds by going to High Command.
Nice.
And plus Brendan's running this too, right? So I mean, we know that the officiating is going to be good.
Yeah, coming out of LVO last year, I was super impressed with what you guys did. That was my first like major tournament that I had played outside of some X-Wing tournaments. And I mean, it was so on point. The questions were answered. The tables looked great. So if it's that caliber of tournament, I think anyone's going to have a great time.
Brendan is using a lot of the great tables that he has brought to events in the past. So you're going to see kind of that same level. The consistency will definitely be up there.
Awesome. If I didn't have obligations here at the VA on Veterans Day weekend, that would probably be an event that would make a trip.
I was going
to
say, you don't say.
That's like our Christmas.
Yeah. So you said October 30th is the closeout for
sometime around that, right? Then. I think it's like October, maybe the 26th is what it is. And then the actual. Yeah, late October.
Okay, so late October.
And then the actual day is the 8th of November is when the Legion stuff starts.
And if anybody's thinking about going, but they're just not sure if they should go or not, I would say go for it. They're a lot of fun. I mean, even if you don't win, you get to play some Legion, you get to meet some community members.
And there actually are going to be some people that, you know, that I know that are going that I found out after I committed. Actually, one of the people that I'm most excited to see is a War Corgi, who does awesome battle reports, and he's the one that puts like the special effects in his battle reports. That's the first tournament that he's ever been to because he's been in Germany the last couple of years, and he's finally moved back to the States. So I can't wait. I can't wait to meet him because that's going to be sweet.
Nice.
Awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, like I said, Warfare Weekend, it's Grand Championship, St. Louis, and November 8th and 9th. So if you get a chance to get out there for that, I would love to be out there, but you can see LJ, you can see War Corgi, and hopefully get one of those four spots for High Command. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and coming back, LJ is going to talk to us about Invader League Season 4.
You're listening to the Legion Outriders podcast, a member of the Radio Free Tatooine Network, recorded on location at Power 9 Games. Whether you're looking for the latest releases from Legion, X-Wing, 40K, Magic, or any of our other extensive inventory of board and card games, head to power9games.com and use coupon code OUTRIDER10 to get 10% off your order. Plus, shipping is free on orders over $100. Now, back to the Outriders.
Welcome back, Outriders. John, Jeff, and LJ here with you, talking about some Invader League action going on. So this is Season 4, right?
Yes, this is the fourth season we've had so far. I had to think about it for a sec and not cross my streams, but yeah, fourth one.
So Season 1 through 3, we've seen a lot of growth, right?
Yeah, but you know, one of the nice things about Invader League is because the outreach is so large with it being an internet thing, not an in-person thing, is that we've always had really solid numbers with like where Legion has been at the time.
Yeah.
And the first one we had, I think it was 40 people. And that was like the signups for that were right when the game dropped. And so that felt like a huge growth. And comparing that versus season four, we made it all the way up to 144 players that are going to be participating in this season and a total of 207 entries.
Dude, that's crazy.
I mean, that's huge, yeah. For a game that's, what, only about a year and a half old?
Yeah, exactly.
And the so only thing that's going to beat that is LVO 2020.
What are we looking at numbers for LVO 2020?
2020 is 128 that are participating in the main event. But then when you consider the doubles and the narrative, that hits in the 190s / 200s, depending on if anybody does a show.
Jeez.
Yeah. So
LJ Legion president, telling you.
That is a funny stat to actually throw out there, because for LVO last year, we had 15 people signed up when Brendan and I took the reins. And then Pablo, one of the guys from Frontline Gaming, told us that he was, they were mentally budgeting 20 people. And then we hit that number of 64. And now this year, you know, it's grown into 3 days and 4 events. So
I think you guys, it was filled up within a month of the signups opening up, right? It sold out and you had to open up a second wave.
Yeah. So we actually closed the first heat, I guess you can call it, in about 7 hours. The first heat had filled up, and then the narrative, the team event just kind of slowly filled up over time. So I think in total between the new heat opening up and those things kind of slowly filling up, I think it took about 3 weeks for us to fill up the events, which is obviously a good sign.
Awesome. Yeah, that's just a testament to the hard work that you guys have been putting in. So, you know, thank you from the Legion community for doing that.
Well, you know, and it's a testament to how the community's growing too. It's such a positive thing to see, and it makes me feel like I'm not wasting my time investing in these events and whatnot. And you know, when you thought about think about the timeline for sign up was in, what was it, June, July?
Yeah, it was middle of the summer.
Yeah, and you know, so Clone Wars technically not even out yet, so there's still like a small group of people, let's call it, that are probably just waiting to get into this game and get that course that we were talking about earlier, that probably didn't even sign up, and they're going to be kind of that next group of people that are really going to be getting into the game here soon.
Yeah, I mean, I know locally we've got a few guys who are definitely in that category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, we've barely scratched the surface with Legion, or with the Clone Wars potentials too, because they haven't even, you know, released anything that looks like a sniper type unit, special forces type units. We haven't even touched those. So I think there's a lot coming down the pipe.
All right, so back to Invader League. So season four starts when? This weekend coming up, right?
Yes. So the timeline for season four is we have signups open until tomorrow, though by the time you hear this, it's probably going to be today, the 27th. Signups should close at about 2 p.m. Pacific. And then what I'm going to do is in the back end, I'm going to immediately draw the groups. And so the groups were actually originally going to be drawn on Saturday, but we decided to push it up a day early because we are doing a little pre-show on Friday, which we can talk about in a minute. So the groups will be drawn by this weekend, and then we'll have the maps and the mod with its kind of final build uploaded by Sunday, because Monday the 30th is when things officially pop off. So then the new season will start. Usually we budget around a month for the round robin phase. And so the round robin will be done on November 1st. And then that weekend will pass. We'll kind of get everything figured out, get the single elimination all set up. And then the single elimination will be from November 4th to December 9th. And so in total, we'll, you know, again, we take about 2 months and we budget a little extra time on the end for catch up. And then that season will be closed and we'll see you again in the spring.
So what are the events that you got leading up to here?
So as far as previews goes, we've got two kind of special things happening tomorrow. We've got a TTS Learn to Play between David Zelenka, who also goes by Endless, and Daniel Lupo. Sorry, Lupu, you can leave that in. The, the Superior Saboteur man himself, they're going to be doing a little tabletop simulator learn to play. So if players are interested in learning on how to use the mod, or if they want to learn some tricks and some other stuff before the season starts, you can tune in to that on Yavin Base at around 5 p.m. Pacific. The hour before.
And those are two guys that are just worth watching anyway, even if you do know the game, because I mean, I played Daniel at LVO. He's a phenomenal player. And Dave Zelenka, didn't he just win, was it Nova?
Gen Con.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great players.
Yep. So they'll be going at it, and that'll be really cool because it'll help people kind of learn how the mod works a little bit. And there are obviously a ton of new people that are joining us for this season. So there's a lot that they can pick up from watching this, and experienced people too. And then the other cool thing that we kind of threw together at the last minute here is at about 4 o'clock Pacific, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do a pre-show. So very similar to, if you think of like March Madness, where they reveal the brackets and stuff like that, we're going to do the same thing. We want to make kind of a big deal of our groups, because the groups are always something that people remember. And actually, I think it's at LVO this year. One of our groups from last season is actually going to be doing a meetup with each other, because five out of six of the members of that group are all coming to Vegas this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So so we're going to do a little show. We're going to talk a bit about the season and how things work, and, you know, do like a kind of little wrap up of how the last one went and how things are changing between 3 and 4. We'll also take the group through a preview of the maps and talk about some of the new toys that are going to be played with this season. And then last but not least, we'll reveal the groups group by group and maybe give you some kind of predictions about how we feel that this thing's going to go.
Can we do a little teaser for that right now?
Oh, of course.
So, all right. Season 3 was what? That was dominated by Imperials. A lot of the guys that finished in the top were Imperials. We had a lot of double bounty lists. We had a few Krennic and Bossk. A lot of Bossk going on. Mm. What are you predicting this season?
So I will say that the tables flipped, or I will say evened a little bit this season. I think one of my biggest predictions, and this might not be a surprise when you really think about it, I think, unfortunately, the droids are probably going to struggle because they're very easy to counter. But I think that if any droids make it through the gauntlet to the single elimination, they're going to go deep in the single elimination. They're going to make a run. I think the Rebels are going to be in a great position here with Operative Luke and the Tauntauns making a splash. And at the same, kind of the same token, Imperials, you're probably going to see a lot more variety than in previous seasons, because, you know, there was a lot of things that got a lot more viable over the last couple months. And you've also got, you know, stuff like Operative Vader breathing life into old classics. So what I really think is that I have no idea what's going to happen.
I think that's great, though. I think we're in a place where you're going to see so much variety,
yes,
that you have to have a list that can handle anything.
Yes, there's so much new stuff to throw on the board, and with the points rebalance being in the mod, it really is going to be kind of the wild, wild west this season. And so one of the things that we didn't do before that we're doing this season is we are collecting lists during the round robin, so we can kind of analyze some of those trends and talk about units that, you know, might be making resurgence or might not be really seeing table time. So you can change your list in between each game during the round robin phase, and I don't collect lists during the round robin because of that, but we're actually going to make that kind of a function of this. And, you know, so there's going to be 144 active players this season, and each of them is going to play 5 games. So I actually did not do the math before this, but there's going to be a metric crap ton of lists for us to analyze by the time November 1st.
So that's just for the first month, right? And then you go into the single elimination?
Yes. So the way that the thing is kind of structured is that you have the round robin phase. You're in a group of 6 players, so you play 5 games. Those games are going to see you travel to the planets of Ryloth, Geonosis, Felucia, Tatooine, and Hoth. And so you're going to kind of navigate the gauntlet between whoever else is in your group, and the fact that you know the maps and you know the faction that the opponent is playing beforehand. And so, you know, you'll kind of work your way through that. And then the top two from each group. And the, so this is balanced by win loss and then the objective points. And then finally head to head, the top two from each group are going to move on to a single elimination. And so this year, I think we've got something like 24 groups is what we're looking at this time. So that means we're going to have a 48 player single elimination bracket.
Oh, wow. And what was last year?
Last year was 32, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
So we, yeah, so we gained about 16 players.
Nice. So how advanced or how far up to the, you know, most recently released units it will be featured in the mod? Are we going to be seeing Saber tanks or AATs?
Yes, if you actually take a look at the Season 4 announcement poster, we do have those featured on the front. So almost every single thing that we know of is going to be in. The only things that I don't think are going to make it in is the personnel expansion. So there was some stuff from that we knew, but there's also some stuff we don't. And so that was kind of given a lower priority over some of the stuff we saw at Gen Con, even though that stuff is technically coming later than the personal expansion. So the Separatists are going to have Dooku and B2s, unfortunately without heavy weapons because we don't know final details there. And then the clones are going to have Rex and Phase 2s, and they're kind of going to be in the same boat. We're not going to know their heavies there. We are going to have Operative Luke and Vader, and we are going to have C-3PO and R2-D2 as well.
That's nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
So do you don't think that the AATs are going to have a large impact?
I mean, they're going to have a large impact on where you can put the rest of your army, that's for sure.
Well, that
physically, yes, they are quite imposing. You know, the AAT is in such a weird place, I think. And the same thing kind of goes for the Saber, but I think more so for the AAT because of Barrage and the kind of native dice that its main weapon has. I'm kind of a believer in the AAT because of so much, because of the stuff that it does, but we don't know what all of the weapons are, and I don't think we know all of the pilots yet, and the same thing goes for the Saber. So, like, I think those things are only going to get better once we know more about them and we have more to put on the table, but they might kind of suffer in this interim phase because, you know, it's hard for them to reach their full potential when we don't know all of the different ways we can upgrade them.
So you talk a lot to guys like Dave Zelenka and, you know, Kyle Dornbos and Daniel Lupo, the who's who of the competitive scene. Do you hear anything about some faction changes? Are any of those guys going to be running some of the newer Clone Wars stuff?
You know, because of the newness of everything, a lot of these guys don't know what the hell they're going to run this season, and I think that is awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to see
indicator of like how good things are going. I do have faction breakdowns in front of me if you're curious, but like
absolutely,
from our like personal discussions, there's been a lot of indecision on what everybody's going to bring. They're all waiting to see if something else gets announced and if we can throw it in the mod last minute, because you know there's so many good things that are coming out in the future, and you know, people like to try the new stuff, but the prizes are fairly considerable, so that, you know, you also see a lot of people maybe not willing to make the jump because they want to play something a little safer. I, on the other hand, I have no fear, and so I am playing droids. And I will tell you...
You're playing droids.
Droids are my favorite army. At the moment, I am a staunch Imperial player. I played Imperial. I actually don't own any Rebel stuff, and I have only played Imperial this past year and a half. But man, droids are so fun to see on the table and just so rewarding to play every single time because they're playmakers. The Droidicas and Grievous and Dooku, if you want to talk about that later, are just so fun to see on the table and get into the fight. And so, you know, one of the things that people mentioned was that Separatists are going to have a very hard time because you know what faction and map you're going to be playing on. Separatists are particularly easy to counter because, you know, the counters that work against them really screw up a lot of what makes them good. You know, Ion hurts extra. Flamers hurt extra. comms jammer really hurts extra because you can break the coordinate chain. And so I figured, okay, well, if that's going to be the big complaint, then I guess I'm playing Separatist. So, you know, people know that I'm willing to give it a shot and they should be able to give it that shot too. And so the numbers between clones and Separatists are kind of close, but Separatists was the faction with the least amount of signups. But I got to be perfectly honest, I really don't care about the potential issues with droids, rather, because if you can make it through that round robin, as I said, I think they're going to make it very far in the single elimination. And also, you know, they are there to be played for fun, and it's not like they have to be in the league. It's something that technically still is not released yet. So, you know, the people that play them, hopefully they know what they are getting themselves into and they don't get salty about it later. But at the very least, if I'm going to play, then I'm going to go through what's the potential worst possible case scenario. And let me tell you, that Grievous Dooku 6B1 army is fun as hell to play.
I mean, that's expensive for the leader standpoint, but...
Grievous is pretty good. But, from what I can see, like, he's pretty defensive. Yeah. He's hella offensive. He's a super big threat when he gets into your army. And Dooku, I'm terrified of Dooku on the field.
Well,
just the preview that I've seen, I'm absolutely terrified to see him on the opposite side of the table.
And we only have one Dooku command card that we can play with. We don't even have all three.
Yeah.
And I'm still feeling like it's a good decision. And I'm going to enjoy playing it, you know, when I put it on the table. You know, just thinking about it, Dooku really enables a droid army, because now... droids who can't lose actions and can only panic at 6 suppression. Your core troopers panic at 6 suppression and don't lose any
weapons.
Yeah,
options. I mean, yeah, there's no way you're going to be able to fire that much to take them out, you know, through panic. Not, I mean, maybe one unit, but...
And Grievous, yeah, who has chronic running away problems, same thing. He's going to panic at 6 suppression now instead of 4. And even if Grievous only gets 1 action, he's still super effective because of scale and relentless. So I can't wait. It's going to be such a good time.
Well, not to mention that, but you know, if I'm facing that army, my first concern is not going to be the 6 units of B1 droids. It's going to be Dooku and Grievous potentially chopping up everything that I have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, they're both pretty fast units. I mean, what, speed 2, both of
them?
Yep,
they're both speed 2. Dooku doesn't have Charger Relentless, but he does have 3 Force powers and Master of the Force 2. So you can double move him behind line of sight blocking terrain and just pop off Force powers like nobody's business. Oh, cool. I've pushed a squad into Grievous so he can now slash them and move on. Oh, I've picked out your, you know, 30 point heavy weapon and taken a dodge token all in the same move. And not to mention, he's also got stuff like his lightning that was scatter, where you can lightning something at range 2, rearrange the troops so now they're closer to you, so then with your second action you get in a melee with them and next turn start chopping away with this 5 red.
Yeah. And so he surges on offense too, right? He has red defense. What else? He's got a huge attack pool too, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's got 5 red, and so he's just under he's just under Darth Vader, but he surges to attack, so that kind of helps make up the difference. And he's got the Celestial Mastery thing. Or sorry, no, that's Obi-Wan. He has the other one. And so that one, the one that Dooku has, turns off Impervious, and Dooku loses a point of Pierce, and it also turns off Immune Pierce. So, like, against, like, another Grievous, it's like, cool, you're, you know, awesome defense that you have. Throw that right out the window. It's so fun.
Is he a Jedi Hunter, too, or that's only Grievous, right?
That's only Grievous. But he already surged crit, so you don't really need it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Dooku is terrifying to me. You know, I don't want to see him on the other side of the table. And I think if I do, I'm going to be terrified.
Yeah, somebody who likes to run Luke, I'm not happy. I'm not happy about potentially seeing him.
Oh, man, I can't wait to fight a solo Luke list with a Grievous Dooku list. That's going to be, like, beating up on the poor guy. Oh, exciting stuff.
That scares me a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But what you're talking about, the six suppression before you panic, that's kind of like the list I'm running right now. I'm running Jin, Leia, and Sabine. And that six suppression before you panic is a huge deal. Yeah. Shoot at my troops, yeah. There's a lot of suppression negation there. And, I'm sure that the droids are going to be the same way. So while they might not be great right now, I think they're going to be an army that's to be reckoned with in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to look forward to. As I said, there's going to be the pre-show on Friday that we're going to do. And then we're probably going to do a pre-show for the single elimination. And one of the things I did last season was I had been keeping a challenge bracket updated with running totals so people could see kind of who had made it into the finals and what their various positions were going to be. And so I think this season, I don't think I'm actually going to do that. I think I'm going to keep it private instead of making it public, so the bracket reveal show can be a bit more of a surprise. And then I think last season, we did some really fun prizes actually for the bracket challenge. We did a bracket challenge where people could enter and they could get prizes, and we gave away a Bossk and Sabine, and we gave away some other stuff. So with it being a full 48 this time, I think we're going to have to do a pretty serious bracket competition, one that you'll want all of your office members to join in.
Nice.
we'll fill out our own brackets here, and we'll see who the best outrider is, because I mean, we're not good enough to actually be in the bracket, but we'll spectate.
Well, we know it won't be Matt. He'll come in last.
Well, that's true.
Second to last.
Well, that was one of the funny things we did last year, is that we didn't announce it, but then I actually ended up giving a prize for the person who had the worst bracket. And we didn't announce that beforehand because I didn't want somebody to purposely try to tank it. But at least if you just totally spiked the ball, you'd at least get something for it. So that was pretty fun to do. And again, there's so much stuff that it's just anybody's game this season that I really can't wait to see how it shakes out by the time we get there. We've got 108 US players, 24 European players, and 12 kind of that fit into the Australian time zone. So, those brackets are all bigger than they were last time. And there was pretty decent representation of all three of those in the elimination. Out of all registered players, so not the ones that are going to make it in, but everybody who made it in and the wait list, you've got 80 Imperial players, 73 Rebel, 32 Republic, and 21 Separatists. So Imperials did edge out the Rebels once again, but it's almost been like 3/5, 2/5 for the Imperials, and it had been neck and neck during the entire signups. So, with some things that are good at keeping you pretty lukewarm, I have a feeling we have a lot more people committed to Rebels because of how their situation has changed.
Was that a Tauntaun joke?
That was a Tauntaun joke.
Nice. I'm glad, as a primarily Rebel player, until Clone Wars stuff comes out, and then I'm going to jump into the clones, the clone army. I'm glad that the Rebels are back in this position where we can threaten pretty much anything on the other side of the table a little bit better than we used to, with different units too, not just running like on the meta list. Because I like playing a little bit outside of the meta, even though I am running Tauntauns right now. I hate to pick up those, on the meta list and just run them, because I feel like it's not my army.
Well, that's a great thing about the state the game's in right now, is there really isn't a meta.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything is kind of the Wild West, like LJ was saying.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a great game state. And I think it's just going to get better as more and more units come out too.
So last question I have for you, LJ. Is it because you're such a good guy that you like playing the bad guy armies?
Oh, man, you're really wailing on that.
Well, I mean, you go from the Empire, which are clearly the bad guys.
So
Rebels are not terrorists.
Does that make me a bad guy then?
I don't know. I guess so, Jeff.
In real life, I'm a bad guy. I don't feel like a bad guy.
LJ just has to compensate for his such like good nature that he used to play the bad guys in Star Wars.
If Naboo would have just subjected itself to the perfectly legal blockade of the Trade Federation, we wouldn't have had all these problems. The Imperials. The Imperials had the AT-ST, and how was I not going to play them? They had the AT-ST, man. I couldn't avoid that. I could not play that thing. And so, you know, when, so the, actually the story of my first corset was that I was deployed at the time that Legion released. And my family actually bought me a corset for my birthday while I was deployed, but it stayed at home because I didn't want to have to worry about trying to transport the stuff back when I was all done. And so I talked to my my brother, who him and I, since we started playing 40K many moons ago, had a habit of splitting, you know, corsets and picking one faction or the other. And so he wanted the Rebels because he wanted to play the T-47. I wanted the Imperials because I wanted to play the AT-ST. And so that was actually the main reason why I picked them. But I did really end up falling in love with their play style. And I was a huge Boba fan, and I still am. You know, I practiced Boba from the time he came out, and I played him all the way up to Worlds because I liked him so much. So, you know, they definitely fit my play style and, you know, the kind of armies I like to play. And then the droids definitely kind of harken back to the Tyranid days of old, where I love having a mass of just faceless nobodies on the table, but at the same time having some really powerful centerpieces like Grievous and the Droidicas, and eventually that beautiful, beautiful AAT.
So have you and your brother gotten a chance to actually play against each other, like face-to-face?
Not face-to-face, but we have played through the magic of Tabletop Simulator.
What's your record with them right now?
We've only played 4 or 5 times, and I think I've won every game.
Well, are you the older brother or younger brother?
Older brother.
Yeah, see, that's what you got to do. So my little brother's coming in town this weekend, and we're gonna play Legion. He's a, you know, we're war gamers back from, you know, our childhood. We used to play Warhammer Fantasy together, but he's never played Legion. He's a Star Wars nerd, so he's definitely up for it. So we're gonna play an introductory game, but as the older brother, I need to make sure I beat
him. Oh yeah,
I'm gonna let him think he's gonna win for a little bit, but then
it needs to be a callous beatdown. That's the older brother code. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
You let him have like a moment of hope at the beginning, and then you crush it utterly from that point on.
100%.
Well, and you know,
my girlfriend, when I taught my girlfriend to play, I let her beat me. But
is that what the story is?
I mean, I may have given her, like, it may have been a 400-point game, and I may have given her like an AT-ST, Vader, and Boba Fett. But yeah.
Well, that, you know, that was one of kind of the other benefits, was that, you know, even though we're playing the game, and I'm obviously more competitive than him when it comes to it because he hasn't had time to really get into it, you know, at least we still enjoy ourselves. We can make scenarios that both of us enjoy, and, you know, even though we're not playing together, we can pop open a beer while we're playing Tabletop Simulator, and then, you know, I have a Star Wars movie going on the other monitor while I'm playing. So it's just like old times, and, you know, whenever we're in the same spot, we'll probably throw down again and try to play for realsies this time whenever I see him next.
I don't know when you find time to play with all the stuff you're running.
You know,
I mean, I feel like LVO by itself is a lot to set up, and you're doing all these seasons of Invader League. It's, I don't know when you find time to play.
That was honestly one of the big problems I think I had before Worlds, was that I was not as familiar with my army as I should have been. I think I should have ran the same thing I ran at Adepticon at Worlds, because I was so much more familiar with it, and I didn't get the trigger time with Krennic and with Death Troopers that I should have had to feel confident running them at Worlds. After playing that list a little bit more, I really do think it's a very powerful, very good list, but I don't think I had the experience to run it at that like high of a level, because there were some glaring mistakes that I made that led to me not doing as well as I would have hoped. And so, you know, that's a very serious kind of concern. And so, because I really do want to run droids this competitive season, I started playing them last month in August on Tabletop Simulator, and then because I was able to grab a core, I've been able to put a little bit of table time in with them. And so, you know, I know that I want to play them at Adepticon in March, and so I started playing nothing but droids in August. I tried to give it as much time as humanly possible, because you're right, I can't really predict the schedule. You've got the Invader League stuff going on, and I did put myself in this season so I could get a little more table time. And then I do have the LVO stuff, and we've started early meetings for Adepticon to start to figure that stuff out. So, you know, it's a lot of, there's a lot of whatnot going on, and I just kind of got to force myself to do it sometimes so I can get that practice in.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're definitely going to have to try to get some more reps in here so we have a chance to beat you next time we play.
Yeah, well, you know.
Spoiler alert, it's not going
to
happen.
But. I didn't want to have to go to your RPQ and embarrass you.
Are you coming?
No, I can't. We have a wedding that weekend, and I'm so bummed because I'd love to see everybody again and maybe do an episode or something in person, because it's really fun to do it in person as much as I like being able to come on like this and do it. And I can't get out of it. I feel bad. Emily does so many. She's so great with like letting me do this side of things and not giving me a hard time just ever about doing this. And she helped at LVO and she helped at Adepticon. So, you know, I got to give back. And, you know, if we got to go to a wedding, I'm going to go to a wedding and I'll drink tequila and get over it.
Yeah, I know how that is. I'm in the same boat. When I can get my Legion time, I take it. But I know, you know, it's not at a cost. You just have to put the time in elsewhere.
Just convince the people to get married in Vegas.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, at Matt's store or the Power 9 store.
There's enough chapels around here.
Yeah.
All right, LJ, thanks a lot for coming on today. Really appreciate it. You know, like always, it's always nice to see you. Nice to converse with you. And, you know, it's nice to get your, you know, have you kick my butt in the game too. But.
Well, thanks again for having me. And, you know, definitely a huge thanks to you guys. I can't remember if Matt conveyed this to everybody, but the Legion Outriders actually are the first place prize sponsors for this reason. Sorry, for this reason. Wow. This season. And they did contribute 100% of the first place prize, which is $200 in Miniature Market gift card vouchers.
Oh, shucks. Well, we're blushing right now. You can't see it, but we're blushing.
You guys were a huge part of making, you know, that kind of ultimate prize happen. And we have a great group of sponsors this season. I think we were up to like 12, 13 different groups and businesses that helped out. We've got a strong core of streamers that are helping out in streaming matches again this season. And my staff that helps run the mod and the judging staff has grown exponentially before the season. So, you know, I enjoy coming out and getting to be the face of the party, but there's so many unnamed people that really do deserve credit for making the machine, you know, turn. And, you know, they do it and the developers do it and FFG does it, because at the end of the day, we're all Star Wars nerds and we all just want to have a good time. And so, you know, appreciate you giving me the outlet to come and talk about my baby for a little bit.
Oh, for sure. And, yeah, you know, it's all about making the community better, because, you know, that's what it really boils down to, is, you know, all this stuff that we're doing and that you're doing and stuff is really for the betterment of the game, but betterment of the community as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the results and, yeah, the questions that come out of it, the answers that come out of it, because I know they'll be there. The Facebook post, I'm excited to see all that.
Well, speaking of new the community, we got some new Patreons here. We want to give a quick shout out to before we head out. Nick Cooper and Mike Reynolds. Thank you guys very much for contributing. Also, for the Patreons who've been around since since the beginning here, we've got the patches at the printers right now. Those will be sent to any Patreons that have been active or supporters for at least 6 months. So big shout out. Thank you to you guys for contributing to us and helping us, you know, allowing us to do what we're doing with Invader League. So again, thanks a lot, LJ. Really appreciate you having you on and good luck this weekend with the preview.
Thanks. Can't wait to see what those or how those groups ended up and who I got.
All right, Outriders, thanks for listening. We will check you all in 2 weeks.
You've been listening to the Legion Outriders podcast, a member of the Radio Free Tatooine Network. For more from the Outriders, make sure you like us on Twitter at Legion Outriders, subscribe to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Legion Outriders, and make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks for listening.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.